This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. This is iFanboy Special Edition, Eternals.
Baby, don't understand why we can't just hold on to each other's hands. This time might be the last. Make it all too clear.
Hello, welcome to iFanboy Special Edition Eternals. My name is Connor Kilpatrick, and I am here with Josh Flanagan.
I am Josh Flanagan.
So, we're laughing about something technical that you can't see or hear. It's fine. You're not missing out on anything. We are here to talk about Eternals, the latest film from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Shang-Chi came out in September. We didn't get to see it in theaters. We talked about it after seeing it on Disney+. Eternals, though, does not hit in Disney+ until around Christmas time, so we've braved the theater experience to see this film. It's from Oscar-winning director Chloe Zhao and a whole lot of writers. And it stars a lot of people. To go through them all would be folly. But there's 10 of them.
I think that's a very good way to look at it.
There's 10 main characters and then a bunch of side characters. There's a lot of characters in this movie. It's almost a 3-hour movie.
Now,
spoiler warning.
Yeah, spoiler warning. Connor, you know what I think of in a general sense of the movie, but I have no idea what you think.
I do want to lead up into one thing here. So if you go all the way back into the life of iFanboy, in which we talked about these movies going back to 2008 when Iron Man starts, and beyond 2008 to 2010, and where we had Captain America and Thor come out, the discussion on both of our website and amongst ourselves and on our podcast was, when will Marvel go too far? When will they hit that wall of public perception and acceptance? We even questioned whether it would be Captain America, you know, a guy running around wearing a flag with an A in his forehead. Would that be too much for people? No, it wasn't. Was Thor too much? Nope, not too much. So then we had to jump far ahead. Well, surely it'd be Guardians of the Galaxy. No one knows who the fuck Groot is. But no, that was a huge smash.
It's gonna be Ant-Man.
So was the sequel.
It's absolutely going to be Ant-Man.
It's got to be Ant-Man. And Ant-Man wasn't a huge hit.
It was delightful.
It did well enough. Delightful.
Delightful.
So we thought, well, I guess Marvel's fucking bulletproof. They can do whatever they want. They can throw whatever character they want against the screen, and people will come out in droves. And I think...
Go ahead.
This is what we've hit here with Eternals. And look, we can no longer tell popular consensus, because now the box office is broken. We can't use box office as a barometer of whether people are coming out to a film anymore. This movie's made $200 million worldwide. That's a huge flop for Marvel's standards, but again, we're in a pandemic.
For right now, that seems movies. Pretty good, though.
Who knows? Maybe this movie would have made $1 billion at the box office, but probably not, because China's not showing Marvel movies anymore. So I came out of this movie, then the conversation I had was, okay, they finally did it. And I'm a comic book reader. I've been reading comics for 35 years, and I was never really an Eternals guy. And let's just be clear, Jack Kirby created the Eternals, but...
Not everything translates.
And also not one of his, you know, more compelling creations.
True.
Kieran Gillen, you saw the Rubik book, I dropped off of it. Yeah. I was just like, I don't think
Have
I care.
Have you looked at the Rotten Tomatoes rating for this film?
No, there was a campaign against it because it had a diverse cast. Oh, well, the normal internet assholes put a campaign. You can't really take the aggregate.
Well, there's
either.
The audience score versus the professional. The audience score is 80%, and the professional reviewer score is 47%.
Yeah, it's not good. So my feelings on this movie are that... Wait, did you see Nomadland?
I did.
Okay. I thought there was some really beautiful shots mm-hmm. in the movie. I thought there was some really nice sweeping vistas. I thought there was some fun scenes. I thought amongst the 10 characters and side characters, I thought the casting again was strong. I don't know that there was, mm-hmm. other than Angelina Jolie, like a true movie star in the cast, but and Salma Hayek. But I thought the cast was fun. I thought they were good in their roles. I thought there was some interesting sequences, even some interesting ideas that were presented. But overall, I thought it was a disjointed mess. The constant flashbacks kept breaking up the narrative. Even though I liked seeing things like Babylon realized on screen, it was like, why are we spending so long at Babylon? It just felt like a ill-conceived notion. And it felt almost like hubris. Like, this was Marvel like, well, we'll make Eternals work. And Eternals did not work for me. I can't even imagine what a person who's never read them in comics felt like coming out of this movie.
Well,
there's too many characters. You never got to know them enough because there was so many of them. I liked Cersei. I'm in the back for Gemma Chan. Her Game of Thrones love triangle was interesting for a little bit. And then Dane Whitman goes away completely for 95% of the movie.
Can I tell you how confused I was when he showed up? Because I didn't know that Kit Harington would be in it, but I knew that I'm going to just say them. Rob Stark and Jon Snow, though, because that's easier for me.
Okay, that's fine.
I knew that Rob Stark was in it, and then Jon Snow shows up in that scene, and I was very confused. I was like, wait, is that... Why am I confused? And then I was like, they can't both be in this movie. Oh, they are. Okay, now I'm not. It genuinely threw me for a loop. I was like, why is this happening?
You know, I really liked the movie up until... Icarus shows up, like when they start posturing at each other. Like, I liked the whole opening. Like, they had like a sweet little thing in the classroom, mm-hmm. and you know, then they had like the ex-boyfriend shows up and they're sort of posturing at each other. I'm like, this is kind of fun. Then it just falls off the cliff for me soon after that.
I don't even go that far. I know that I texted you, and this is bad form to do, but I texted you about an hour into the movie from the theater. I said, does this get better? And you sent me the emoji.
I sent you the shrug emoji.
And I didn't know what that meant either. And I was like, all right, he plays close to the vest because we have to do this show. Also, I'd like to point out that if you're out there who are listening to this, you chose to do this voluntarily. You wanted to know what we think when you hit play. So you can't be mad at me. Like, everybody got mad at me for Black Widow, and it hurts my feelings. But you asked. Almost every choice in this movie was rote and obvious and bland. And it possessed... None, it possessed zero, other than Jon Snow, of the spark and the fun and the life that...
Charm. Charm.
Whatever it is that Marvel, MCU charm was not apparent. I was like, oh, they made their DC movie. Like, this reminded me of Green Lantern. Everything was arch, and it was like they would say a line, and like you'd hear the line just... thud to the ground with its cliche heaviness. If this hadn't been related to Marvel, this would be the most forgettable, unremarkable science fiction movie you'd ever seen.
Well, I think it's still going to be that.
It is, honestly.
Especially up against things like Dune.
But people wouldn't have even gone, is the point. Believe it's worse now because a lot of people see it.
No. The entrance into the theater is because of the Marvel Studios logo in the front. I mean, it's not because anyone's really excited to see Icarus on screen. Like, it just was too much.
But then at the same time, though, like, none of the Eternals themselves, I thought, were at all compelling. First of all, it didn't make sense to me. Like, and I know that this is very... But I kept going, like, why is that guy fucking Irish? Why? Like, they showed up before the people, and you've got an American, African-American guy. You've got an Irish guy. You've got a Scottish guy. You've got a British Asian lady. And I was just like, you know, I kind of get what you're going for, but it doesn't work because they're the Eternals. Like, they should be, I don't know, should be something. But the fact is, like...
What should they be?
I don't know, but...
They gotta be played by humans.
No, I know that. I'm just talking about, like, the cultural sound of their voices. I was like, well, did they invent these accents? You know, like, I just kept thinking about it. Mm-hmm. It seemed off. Like, if you were going to play everything so arch, then they shouldn't have spoken in such a colloquial way, maybe. But also, if it was played the other way, you'd want to kill yourself watching the thing.
But they've also been living on the planet for...
I know. Yeah, but they sounded like that at the beginning, or did they not?
I don't know.
I feel like they did. Yeah, and I never lost track of looking at an actor. at every moment. I was like, this is an actor who has no idea what they're doing here. And not because the actor doesn't, but because they haven't been given the things to do to fully lean into it. And like, I don't know if Richard Hadden is a shitty actor, but like, want to talk about having no gravitas about your character who's supposed to be the strongest. It was really interesting is that over in that Eternals comic book series that you talked about, that we both read several issues of and then lost the thread, I knew who he was in that. Like, he was this sort of strong man who had to do the right thing but kind of didn't have a personality outside of that, and that was kind of interesting. And Cersei in that movie was much more the personalities of those people and the ironies of their things. So Cersei's an Eternal, so she is going to live forever and watch all these people die, but she just loves Earth. And I don't know that that came across really well. I think, I don't know, a mechanical guy who has a kid, you know, his story was kind of compelling when they finally got to that.
I think that's part of the problem, what I said, is that when you have 11 Eternals, you're just never going to really get to know anybody that well. Like, you know, Gilgamesh got the short end of the stick.
He was great, by the way. I think he was maybe my favorite of the Eternals. I want to take back what I said.
I'll disagree with you. I liked all the actors, and I thought they all were charming in their roles. They weren't great in their roles, but they were charming.
Angelina Jolie was terrible. Terrible.
Makari, the speedster, you didn't know anything about her. Kingo, I was surprised, just kind of came and went, didn't have much to do.
You know what? Actually, speaking of coming and going, he just left the movie.
Yeah,
he left the movie and he had nothing. I kept waiting for him to come back at some point or do what. No, he said, I'm out of here. And he had nothing to do with the end of the movie.
I'm sorry, 10 Eternals. I was counting Dane Whitman in the middle of it. There's 10 Eternals.
He was the one who was just trying to carry something of personality, but it was also just like, that's just Kumail Nanjiani. You know.
But was it?
Yeah.
That was why I kept looking at the screen going, am I sure I'm looking at Kumail
Nanjiani? Well, I also don't know why they had to get him all jacked and ripped for it. There was no point.
They didn't need to. He didn't need to.
I mean, like, maybe he wanted to and it's fun, I guess. But
that is many things, but it's not fun to get that.
But no, I know that. But like, I thought, well, he's going to do something to surprise us.
Yeah, he didn't need to.
He didn't need to, and they didn't give him enough to do. His story, like, if you, on paper, like, his story was interesting. Like, he becomes, you know, the Bollywood's greatest acting lineage of father to son. Well, I was like, oh, that's kind of fun.
Right.
And he goes to do that thing. I don't know. Maybe they should have gotten to their real life sooner.
Well, that's my point with all the flashbacks. I don't think we needed all of those trips into the past to...
Well, explaining it did not make it more enjoyable.
No, and instead, so you sacrifice learning anything about these characters in the present day. And there were, like I said, there were interesting things. Like, I liked, you know, Kingo's lineage of I was my great-grandfather, and I was my grandfather, and I was my father, and now I'm me. I liked Sprite's, you know, it's not a new idea, but the idea of being trapped as a kid forever and what that would do to you. And when she makes her villain turn, it's like, okay, well, it's like Miracle Man Jr. You know, that would fuck you up if you were stuck as a kid forever like that. And so those things were kind of interesting. Oh, the one I liked the best was Thena's madness and the idea that if you live too long, the weight of all your memories drives you insane. I thought that was an interesting concept, but nothing was really explored.
But all those interesting concepts had nothing to do with the plot, and they didn't add enough to really like get you invested.
Thena's madness didn't really make a difference.
Thena's madness made you like
the overall story.
What's his name? Not the guy who made the beer that's made of spit that we just talked about. Who said?
Oh, Gilgamesh.
Right. Oh, he needs the horns for me to remember that.
I know.
Her thing made him interesting. And I thought that he was probably the most charming character other than... By the way, I think the only things I enjoyed is I just kept waiting. I was like, bring back Dane Whitman. At the beginning when she called him Dane, yes. I was like, yes! Now I got something to get excited about. And then he was gone the whole time. And, you know, like, I was like, well, can we just skip to his movie? Please. That's all I want right now. And so, just to keep this going, I don't think with these movies I nitpick and say there are holes or whatever, but there was things in the movie that, like Kumail leaving and not having, that's weird. That's a totally strange thing to do. And then the other thing that happened was the Deviants, who were a terrible, stupid antagonist.
Oh yeah, we get to that. That was one of my main problems with the movie.
The Deviants were a terrible antagonist because I don't know who they were, or what they were doing, or why. Then you have this one who morphs into some
Amazo
hybrid thing, and you're like, okay, this is going to be something. But it wasn't. They killed that, and that was it. And I was like, well, there's no closure on those. There was,
I hated the Deviants.
It was terrible.
And I hated that was sort of the entire plot. I kept waiting for something. I mean, I get that eventually it's revealed that Icarus is the bad guy, and he's the one they deal with. But the impulse that all of these companies have, or producers or writers, to just have these superheroes fight these anonymous CG characters. Mm-hmm. It's never interesting.
No.
It's never interesting. The only time it was interesting was...
Captain America fighting Nazis.
No, because the Avengers fighting to the Chitauri, because it wasn't about the Chitauri, it was about seeing the Avengers together fighting.
Yeah.
But like Shazam with those sort of like those brown creatures and these...
The seven
these
deadly things. Sins.
It's just not interesting to have them fight and pound on these just blobs of CG. It's just not. Give them a real... And again, Icarus shows up later, but... Give them a real villain with personality and pathos and motivation, and that's way more interesting than here comes that deviant again. We got to punch it real hard.
Well, you look at
interesting.
Black Panther. That I think is a really good example of doing that well. Is that when the fighting happened, you've got Michael B. Jordan versus T'Challa, you know, and there's real stakes between them. You know, like Killmonger is a bad guy, but at the same time, you're like, he makes a lot of good points. And then when the two armies fight. It's, you know, husband against wife, you know, and they all know each other and then they, you know, they love each other. And then that sort of turns around and that's interesting stuff. I think in that movie, they did not fight random CGI thugs. They fought not Kang, the sonar guy, Claw.
Claw,
you know, his minions and there's car chases and then they fought each other and then they fought the gorilla tribe. There was none of that in that movie. That was everything sort of had stakes. And this, I mean, I know the Earth was, you know, at stake and the Celestial. By the way, I liked the Celestials. Like, I just like looking at them. I was like, that's cool.
The image of the one at the end that was half out of the Earth was awesome.
It was.
Like, I think there was some really cool looking things
I kept
in
thinking,
the movie.
Though, I was like, he's not big enough. Because if he's emerged, if he's emerged that much and they're worried about emerging, the Earth's done. You're in 2012 territory then. So I was like, oh, he should be bigger.
Right.
But whatever. I don't, you know, it looked cool. It was a great
image. I thought they were going to make Avengers Mountain out of it.
They might.
It just was weird. It was such a weird movie.
It was just so boring. I mean, I didn't love Nomadland. I know it won an Academy Award. It did whatever. But either way, that was the wrong director choice for this because you took a director who was really subtle and you gave him this. And what she did was just run down the middle of trying to be vague and trying to be exciting. And instead, you got nothing.
Right. I do think that...
What was the message? What was the message?
Well, I don't know. But I don't know. The thing we talked about in the beginning was... Will these movies make sense to Joe Lunchpail? And there's some cultural knowledge of the main Marvel characters. Even if you don't know about them, you may have at least heard of them.
And when,
Spider-Man,
when,
Hulk.
When written well.
Captain America, Thor.
When written well, Captain America's fun. You kind of want to throw your, he's a leader. He's got, you know, charisma. He's got a clear enemy and he's trying to do the right thing. Meh.
Right. And here you have characters that have no... cultural relevance to at all, even not even a minuscule amount, which is ironic because they're supposed to be the inspiration for famous mythological characters, but there's just nothing to hang your hat on if you don't know these characters at all.
I would, even if you did,
they all just kind of don't like each other and they're not really fun to be around. It was just a weird choice. I remember when they announced it at that road show they do, and I was like, really, we're gonna do the Eternals?
You know what, I didn't think that. Just because we'd been through it with the Guardians of the Galaxy and with Ant-Man. And I know the Guardians aren't your favorite movies, but it's not in the same way this one's not.
No, I don't like them, but those movies are at least
fun,
funny, and using actors who are extremely charismatic. Yes. And it's a big sci-fi spectacle with really funny, charismatic people. This was sort of dour and plotting and 3 hours, almost 3 hours.
With like a weak sprinkling of comedy effect, you know, to sort of get us through it.
By the way, my movie started 5 minutes late. I was already like, no, you can't do this. This is 2:45. Now you're at 2:50. You got me 3 or 4 trailers. Now we're at 3 hours.
And the credits are 15 minutes, but you want me to stay through them.
So let's talk briefly about those two scenes. The de-rigueur mid-credit sequence and then the post-credit sequence.
I remember the mid-credit one, which is the one I was waiting
call
for.
Call me crazy. When Star Fox showed up, I went, okay, now I'm interested. Because I've been joking about, when are they going to bring in Star Fox? Because he's like one of those Avengers from our childhood that's been completely written off as a character, does not show up ever, hardly ever. And so that was my go-to joke of, when are they going to bring Star Fox into the movies? Well, here he is, and he's played by Harry Styles. So I'm kind of interested in that. Not that they're ever going to make another Eternals movie. They might just do it out of spite.
Well, it said the Eternals will return. I was like, why? when there's no way that's good. Like they know, like they know.
I didn't love Patton Oswalt as Puck. I feel like his voice is so recognizable.
Yeah, no, I instantly was like, that's Patton Oswalt. Thing is, I don't know who Harry Styles is. I know it's a famous person, and I know the name.
He's a global pop superstar. I get that. And he was in Dunkirk.
Which is the only reason that you can have that character, by the way, is to have him be a very famous person, because then people might watch him.
And he's famous for being sexy, so it makes sense for Star Fox. It's like perfect Star Fox casting. Sure. So then the credit sequence at the end was Dane Whitman with his sword, struggling to open the box, and then struggling to touch the sword. And then he's about to touch the sword, and a voice from off screen says, Dr. Whitman, are you sure, or Mr. Whitman, or whatever his title is, are you sure that's a good idea? Did you recognize that voice?
I did not recognize that voice.
That was Mahershala Ali, who's playing Blade.
Oh, that's Paul Cornell's MI5.
They already announced the Blade film, so I guess Black Knight will be appearing in the Blade film.
I wanted, like, a little more of him with that sword. I was like, come on, yes. Go to the next thing. Because really, at a certain point, that's the only thing I was waiting for. Because they said Dane Whitman. I was like, well, that's interesting. And also, I think that Jon Snow has a charisma that the other people don't. He just did. I was interested in what he... And maybe that's because he was the only human among them, I guess, who I bought.
That also points back to sort of the structural problems of the movie is, as much as I loved him, and I did every time he showed up, that part came out of nowhere.
Yes.
In the beginning, he is Cersei's charming boyfriend. He makes a lot of jokes about her superpowers. He tries to help in the fight, but he's useless. And then we don't see him again for 2 hours and 30 minutes. And then it's the wrap-up. At the end, they've saved Earth, and they're taking a walk in the park overlooking London. He's like, hey, so remember when I told you about my uncle? Well, my family's a little more complex than that. And that was the final shot of the movie, was his face. It's not his movie, as much as I love him.
Mm-hmm. And it was also the only thing I wanted an answer to, and we didn't get it.
And so there's no breadcrumbs, there's no like clues in the beginning that this guy's more than he seems. Like it's just all, they just dropped it out of nowhere. It's just, to me, indicative of the overall structural problem of the movie, which was that the script was a mess. It was just a mess. It was just a mess.
They just didn't know what it was going to be. They didn't know how to cut anything out of it. They didn't know how to make it fun. They didn't have, I mean, we could belabor it, and I'm sure they'll be people who enjoyed it, but I, for the life of me, do not know why. Yeah. It did not have that Marvel magic in any way. It was
no.
It was like a DC movie where you're like, how did this get through other than a committee of people? But to have like a celebrated auteur director just come in and do nothing. Just nothing.
There was at least 3 screenplays.
And what did they just throw the pages up in the air and shove them back together?
I don't know. I've seen 2 of her 3 indie films, and I liked them. I didn't love No Man's Land, like a lot of people did, but I liked it. I thought it was well done. It had skill behind it. It was beautiful.
Yeah, I got the point.
She worked well with those actors and those non-actors. And I saw The Rider, and I liked that as well. But
what I think is interesting is that I think Marvel has dropped the ball before, but only in producing like a B movie, or a B-minus maybe, at worst. Like some of the movies I don't like that much. But I can't necessarily point to what was wrong with it. You know, like Doctor Strange is not my favorite movie.
It's boring.
It's kind of boring, but I can tell you things that I like about it. I can tell you a lot of things I like about it. And then also something good came out of it, you know, with a character that sort of brings everything. I don't like Benedict Cumberbatch in general. I loved him in Sherlock. Everything since then, I'm like, nah, that's weird.
I don't like the Guardians movies, but I can point to very funny scenes and performances, and the character and the actors are great.
Yeah.
Like, I'm never going to watch this movie again.
No.
Never. I'm never going to watch Doctor Strange again. Ever.
I think I did watch
I'm probably never going to watch Captain Marvel again.
I loved Captain Marvel, but I think I also may not watch it again.
But there's just nothing, there's no scene in here that I would point to. Maybe the beginning, because that's all because Jon Snow's in it.
Nah.
But, and I think he and Gemma Chan were really cute together. I think maybe, you know, if it was on TV, I'd be like, I'll watch the first 5 minutes again, and then I'll change the channel as soon as Icarus shows up. It was just weird. But I'd be okay if Cersei and Black Knight joined the Avengers.
I didn't care about her at all.
I just love her.
Good, and I know you do. She's good in other things. She's very pretty. She didn't suck, but they didn't give her anything.
We spent the most time with her, and she's ostensibly the main character. But none of these characters we really know well enough to really care about what happens to them.
We spent 2 hours, like 2 hours of a 2.5 hour movie or whatever it was.
2:45.
With her going, yeah, but why am I the leader? She picked you to be the leader. Oh, I'm not, but maybe I should.
Yeah, she never really justified it.
No, she didn't. Nope. Other than the only justification would be that Salma Hayek, who is ageless and perfect in every way. She knew that Icarus was a shit.
Yeah.
So then she chose her. But
none of the others could lead.
That's not earning.
Yeah, it's just by default.
Yeah.
It's definitely not Droog. He's a psychopath. It's definitely not Makari. Fastos doesn't care. He's too involved with machines. Sprite's a kid. Kingo's too busy being an egomaniac. Thena is going slowly insane. So you're left with Icarus and Cersei, and she knows Icarus is a bad guy.
I'm very impressed that you just reeled through them like that.
Well, I have the screen on here with all their names.
Still.
Yeah, it's just, it was
so disappointing.
Marvel's fallible.
I thought at worst it was going to be like, oh, that was a little clunky. But it just, I was shocked.
This leads to the sort of the larger question. We discussed this on our show about Shang-Chi, is where's Marvel going from here? Right now, I have no idea.
I never saw an episode of it, but this seems like the movie equivalent of the Inhuman show.
Oh, no, that was way worse.
Oh, yeah?
Way, way worse.
I don't know where they're going. And I don't know what, I don't know if they'll adjust or they'll keep going, but I don't know what the plan is. I think at this point we should, you know, I said it before, I think we should know the plan. Or not know, but we should have some hint of what the plan is. I don't know. We need to see Spider-Man get together with, is Don Cheadle going to be the guy now? Because I think he's the oldest Marvel Universe person.
Probably.
Like he's the 60-year-old guy is going to be the next the next phase.
Maybe this is the Hulk of, you know, the second phase. And I liked the Hulk. It has problems. Mm-hmm. Big problems. But I thought it was fun.
It was not an awful movie.
But it was immediately forgotten to the point people literally forget
that
there was a Hulk movie in phase one. So maybe this is the Hulk movie.
Yeah, but it was forgettable. It was forgettable. It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
This is a difference. And sometimes, you know what? I don't know. It was boring. I think that's the thing. Like, Hulk wasn't boring. You're right. It was forgettable. But I've watched it since then. It's not terrible. It's got great cast. It's got really interesting stuff in it. It's a fucking bummer. That's the thing about that movie. And that's what Mark Ruffalo brought to it is that even if he's playing a bummer role, he's got charm. So that goes a long way. I still want a Hulk movie with him. That's the one. That's my wish list item.
I know. It's unfortunate that they won't be able to do it. You know, he shows up at the end of, was it this movie? No, it was Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Yeah, it was the end of Shang-Chi. We didn't talk about that in our Shang-Chi show, but it was Hulk and Captain Marvel.
Who are you excited about in this, you know, second, I don't know, is this phase two? I don't know how they refer to it. You know,
what is
in this post-Endgame world, who are
I'm
you
excited for
about,
them to...
Other
to,
than
to,
Spider-Man. Spider-Man's the, easily the most exciting of the characters still around.
Yeah, but this is supposed to be his final movie.
Well...
In the deal they had.
Fix that. And if I'm Tom Holland, I don't want to play Spider-Man through my entire 20s.
No, not at all. The thing that I want is a roadmap. Oh, this is not phase. Phase two was in the middle, but was pre-Thanos.
Yeah,
this
no,
is phase three. We kept calling it phase two before. I want them to tell me where this is going. No, phase three was still phase in the beginning. Is this phase four?
I don't need them to really map out everything and tell me, but I want to know that we are. That's what I
want
to feel.
Right, that's what I mean. I want them to be like, okay, Thanos is coming. Or I want them to be like, okay, Doctor Doom is coming.
Between these movies that we don't know what to make of and the 56 TV series that we don't really know how they all fit together, it does not feel like it's a cohesive thing. And then when they bring them together, it's like, well, why is that coming together?
So what they've announced in this current phase is Black Widow is kicking it off, but it really shouldn't be, but it is. Then Shang-Chi, Eternals, Spider-Man, No Way Home, Doctor Strange, and the Multiverse of Madness, Thor, Love, and Thunder, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, which is having problems filming right now, and then the Marvels, and then Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and then Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
Was Chadwick Boseman, who's supposed to continue through all of them, I'm assuming. That's a big blow.
Yes, yeah, huge blow.
That's not their fault, but...
Yeah, no, it's a blow for all various reasons. And there's tons of TV shows. I just hope it doesn't become a chaotic mess.
I don't see how it
That's
can.
My hope. The fact of the matter is, how are they going to keep this going without Captain America, without Iron Man, with kind of Thor, but he clearly doesn't want to play Thor that much. Mm-hmm. Now you don't have Black Panther either. You've got Black Widow, a new Black Widow. You have Shang-Chi. You have Doctor Strange. You have Captain Marvel. Ant-Man still. It's a slightly less compelling group of characters. So I guess the real thing that you're looking forward to is when... Oh, God, when are they introducing the Fantastic Four and the X-Men?
Well, who's the...
And are we going to be 60 years old when that happens?
Yes. Who's the... You know, we're talking about the Grant Morrison, like, seven-character pantheon.
Right.
Who is left in Marvel that they hadn't done? And I don't count the Fantastic Four because they are not part of the sort of
The Avengers world?
Yes. But who's left? They did them all, which was good.
You know, I started to say Hawkeye. And
oh, Christ, don't even get me started.
Only because I was picturing the George Perez Avengers, and I was like, oh, Hawkeye. No, wait, no, he's in there.
And then part of the problem with the whole thing is that now there's too many things because they wanted to exploit the property as much as possible, which I cannot blame them for doing. But the focus is so spread out, you know, and them sort of doing so many things, it's not going to have the same feeling.
Okay, so I opened up an image of the Avengers number one, which was Kurt Busiek and George Perez, which I consider to be sort of a classic Avengers, right? Before it became New Avengers and a whole different thing.
So we got Quasar, we got Triathlon. So,
on the main cover, you got Captain America, you got Thor, you got Scarlet Witch, Hawkeye, Iron Man, Giant Man. Those characters have all been in the movies. You have Beast, you have Cersei, you have Sandman, and some other characters. I don't even know who they are. And then the back cover, you have Black Panther, Quicksilver, Vision, Hulk. They've all been in the movies. That leaves Black Knight, who's coming, Tigra, Star Fox, who's coming. Oh, Black Widow was also in the back cover. And Quasar.
Quasar. Oh, there's
Captain Marvel way
character
in the background. Darkhawk.
Oh, God.
Listen, not a perfect era, but a great one. Hercules. We're in trouble. We're in trouble.
We're not. I don't give a shit. But like,
oh, no.
For the people who are in charge of having to do the thing, like that is a heck of a challenge in front of them.
They seem like we're like, fuck it, we're never going to recast these characters. Okay, but then you're going to start scraping the barrel.
They should have absolutely recast the characters.
I think they should have too. It doesn't mean you have to reboot the characters. It doesn't mean you have to restart them over with an origin story, but you can at least recast them.
I don't know how you have a Marvel universe without a Captain America. And I know that they have Sam Wilson or whatever, but
yeah, it's not the same.
It's not the same. Nor was Bucky, you know, which is why it didn't work in the comic books either when they did that.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just tough. I mean, they're going to have to introduce the Fantastic Four and X-Men if only to bring in some characters that at least have some cultural resonance and not Quasar.
I think then the thing is that you make that tree, that side of things, the main trunk for a while.
Yeah.
You know, you do a cycle of films with that.
You've really wrung out the Avengers side.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, that is the reality of actors and aging and not wanting, you know, if you're an actor, you'd probably, there's a great reward to it, but you don't want to be Captain America for, you know, 10 years is a long time to even do that. And I get it, but.
That's why I think they should have clung tightly to not, you know, recasting. Just been like, listen, the reality is every 10 years or so, we're going to have to recast these people.
And in comics, we're used to artists change. All of a sudden, everybody looks different. Yeah. You know, like that's not super unusual.
James Bond.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Eternals, a mess, but I enjoyed talking to you about it.
I was so worried that I was going to come here and be like, I hated it. And you're going to be like, it was great. And I was going to be like, oh, no.
I know. I didn't hate it, but I didn't like it.
I hated it because of its blandness, if that makes sense. Like, that gets me more than it was just so bland. And, like, there were lines that I was like, who wrote this? It reminded me of the feeling that I had when I watched the Justice League movie. It just was like, it just sat there. You know, and they never got off the ground.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's do ratings on Eternals. Ratings out of 5.
2.
Yeah, I'm also going 2. 2 out of 5.
2.
All right. Well, that's the special edition show on Eternals. If you haven't heard it yet, you can listen to Josh and Paul Montgomery and I talk about Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings. Also on fanboy.com. You can also find Josh and I's weekly pick of the week show. We talk about the week's comics. We're usually much more excited about them than this show. And again, this end of the year time, we have tons of special shows coming out. A lot of shows, a lot of special shows, a lot of extra shows, Booksplodes, Talksplodes, all kinds of things happening. They're all at fanboy.com. We thank you for listening to all of them or any of them or one of them. If you just listen to one, decide these guys suck, that's fine too. Thanks for listening. I'm Connor.
I wish I'd gone to see James Bond instead. It was a theater experience. That night I was like, you know what? I want a theater experience. Oh no. It's like you're going to take a road trip, and within the first 10 miles, you hit like a traffic jam and just sit there.
All of your excitement's gone.
Popcorn was good. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.